All good? All right. I always give like a little hype me up intro, you know. Make your ego feel big, you know what I'm saying?
Show my ego.
You know what
I'm saying?
No
diddy.
But, you know, I'm joined today by two Globetrotters, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Every time I be checking the IG, they're in a different location.
That's right.
One day Paris, next Dubai. Last month it was Leo, so you know, yeah. I'm excited for this episode because I'm trying to learn how to stack my butt up so I can be traveling like these two. You know, so my first guest, Ryan, supply chain management major, as well as information systems. Mm-hmm. Variety of high-level professional experiences. Most recently, supply chain internship at Dell this past summer.
Yes, sir.
MLT career prep recruitment captain and fellow. Mm-hmm. In another life, they said he could be in the back line for a top team in the Prem. I don't know about that, but that's what the streets been saying. You know what I'm saying? So, second Cameroonian to grace the Your Choice podcast. Shout out my brother, Ivan. My brother in suffering in B-Law. Ryan, how you doing, bro?
I'm chilling. I'm doing good. Just ready to graduate, you know. Tired of school. You know, just pushing these next 2 weeks. Just trying to finish strong. Getting ready for graduation.
For sure.
Looking forward to the summer. I'm actually going back to Cameroon early June. So excited to do that. Visit my grandparents. So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And joining him today, Ed Lamar, supply chain and marketing major. Also another brother who's applied his skills at some pretty notable places, such as EY and Nike.
Yeah.
Also an MLT career prep fellow. But I'm hyped to talk about another source of income, which is the artwork. You know what I'm saying? Certified creative, whether that be graphic design, illustrations, paintings, things of that nature. And you know me, when it comes to IG, the only part that I like the most is about the captions. And this brother, every time I'm looking at the captions, I'm like, yo, you know what I'm saying? So, Edgar, welcome to Your Choice. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing amazing, bro. Also trying to lock in for graduation and all that. But nah, I'm just blessed to be here. I know you was trying to get this podcast up and running, so
yes, sir.
Glad to be here, glad to be featured, and I'm glad to be here with Ryan too. So
yes, sir. I appreciate you guys, you know, pulling up. Obviously, I talked about, you know, you guys being Globetrotters. You guys were in Leo last month, so tell me about that. tell me only the things that you can tell me for Your Choice, you know what I'm saying? Because we just started. I don't need to know like the you know, PG-13 and below. Tell me about that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Real. I can start. Hey, I would say it was a movie, you know. All boys trip. Something, you know, we've been planning since like last year. Then like the research, like look at potential locations, and we finally settled down with going to Brazil. I would say it was an interesting choice. Like none of us spoke Portuguese for shit at all. We try to do the Duolingo days before, but you know,
we learned a little bit though.
A little bit, you know.
Through the bang.
You know, I still only remember like two or three like phrases in Portuguese. Fala inglês, obrigado, and você está linda. I'm not gonna say what that means, but some people might know. So yeah, but it was a tough trip. Had fun. We're there for like 8 days. We got the chance to like visit a lot of spots, the Christ Redeemer. I got the chance to go paragliding, probably best experience of the trip, or top three. We got the chance to like, you know, just visit like Rio de Janeiro, visit the beaches and stuff, go to a soccer game. So it was like a really adventurous trip. A lot of drinking, but you know, one time for the one time, last spring break, so we had to go crazy.
You got to. Yeah, I mean, just to like a payback over that, like, last spring break we was in Europe, so we was Globetrotting there, and we knew we wanted to do it bigger, and like me and Ryan had just came off of a trip from Dubai, so we had touched Asia, the Middle East. So it was like, all right, what continent haven't we hit yet? So it was like Brazil, and at first it, like the plans was different, like we was gonna go to Brazil for like half the day, like no, for half the trip, and then go to the Bahamas or something. Yeah, like we were gonna go to Brazil and keep it like kind of like touristy, like go see the sights and stuff, Christ Redeemer, and then go to Bahamas and like, you know, go like on like a world tour with like just clubs and like on a resort. But it was like, nah, that's OD, especially because like the trip went from like originally it was like 4 or 5 of us to like 7, so it was like 7 of us, so we was moving deep.
I feel
but nah, nah, it was a movie.
The money too, like if we try to do all that, I don't think I would be here right now. I'll probably be working right now, because
but what goes into like planning those type of trips, in the sense like we were talking off camera about like credit card debt, you know what I'm saying? And like, well, big thing with me is I'm saying I want to travel, but then I'm thinking, like, most likely, if I want to actually make the most of my experiences, I'm going to have to rack up a little debt to make it happen. Mm. But then it's like a type of thing where it's like, you only live this like part of your life once. Mm. So like, what goes into those, like planning those type of trips? Because you guys have been to plenty of places and like, I ain't counting pockets, but I'm assuming that like, yo, sometimes they're taking some L's financially to do these things.
Oh, me. I can talk. So for me, last year was my like really first major trip when I went to Europe with the guys. So I had just like worked and saved up like a lot of money. But at the time, I used like just my debit card. And I kind of regret doing that because even though I use a lot of credit cards, because I have like, not trying to go crazy, I have like the Amex Platinum card. I have my I got a couple travel cards. But like credit card debt, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah,
I've at least recently just paid off my debt and, you know, I feel good. The money's kind of low now, but I feel good. But
they're really speak to that, bro.
No. Like, I would say travel credit cards, like, they're worth it. Like, the benefits, if you know you're going to do, like, a crazy trip, why not take advantage of, like, all the benefits you can get? Like, right now, I maybe have maybe up to 3 free trips I can do with my credit card.
Wow.
Like, the benefits that I stacked up. So, it's like, if you know you're going to do, like, a lot of traveling, you're going to take a lot of trips, you know, just get one, you know, travel credit card. Do what I did. I booked all the guys' flights on my credit card. So I was, it was easy to get the points and the rewards. Yeah. And, you know, they just paid me back. So it's like, I get the benefits. I get the rewards and, you know, free trips. So I'll say getting a credit card, even though it's, you don't want to, like, deal with debt, but it's definitely worth it. Like, you want to make sure maximize the points and maximize, like, the advantage and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, all of us that were going on the trip, we're all, like, math, business majors. So, like, we made sure to, like, a lot of like the details were like kind of like hashed out. Like we had like a doc, we had like an Excel spreadsheet, kind of just like accounting for like all the expenses we would come up with and then like the totals. And we was doing a lot of math on the fly. And like, I don't know if you've seen them videos of like dudes like going on trips, like everything be last minute.
Yeah, so low key
it was like that like at some points, but like we made sure like some like the hard numbers was like really like just kind of locked in. Like the B&B, we locked that in early. The flights. Flights was before the B&B or after?
I think the flights was before.
It was before, yeah. And then we added someone else on the trip. And then someone tried to get in and we had to kick someone out. And it was a lot of other stuff going in. But like, yeah, making sure like that math was right up until like the end point. Like it wasn't until like last week or 2 weeks ago that we actually like gave out expenses that we like actually incurred over there. But nah, yeah, like being strategic with like credit cards, like getting like the points. Not gonna lie, yeah, you did your thing with that one, bro. Got like a couple like points and money and like free trips off of that. But yeah, I just think like we all kind of kept each other accountable too, making sure that we didn't do like nothing OD out there and like spend something crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you talked about, you know, having them all pay you back afterwards, right? As for me, I don't care how close I am with you. I'm not. What's it called? Putting everything on my card. So going based off that, obviously, I know you all them like boys for real. So like, how you all meet? You know what I'm saying? How'd the friendship begin and things of that nature?
Oh, did I meet Edelman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a funny story. So I think I met him. I probably seen him around sophomore year.
Okay.
But we were never like friends like that. And I think junior year, some random day at the gym, I just saw him leaving the gym. So I think that's when I started actually getting close with him. And, you know, we just, like, chatted and, like, talked. And that's when we exchanged numbers. And then, like, there was this one time we were in, like, this class together, our junior year.
Okay.
It was the spring. Oh, actually, the spring. Yeah, spring of junior year. And we were just in the same class. And we just, like, talk after class and stuff. And then, you know, when spring break came up, it was like, oh, what's the plans? Like, he told me about his plans. He's like, he's going to, like, London, Paris, Valencia. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I was like, I'm going to Chicago. But you know what ended up, I was planning to go to Chicago. I was actually going to drive to Chicago.
Yeah.
But you know what ended up happening was, I don't want to say names, but the people I was planning to go to kind of flaked last minute.
Okay.
So, you know, a guy got desperate. I was like, I want to do something for the spring break. So that's when randomly I have an aunt who lives in London and I called her to see if I could visit her spot in London for spring break. She said, yeah. And then I just hit him up about his plans and he was like, he's doing London, Paris, Valencia, and you can join us if you just book the flights, book the trains. So I said, hey, say less. Send me that Google Doc. I'm booking everything. So, you know, I booked the flight, booked the train, and, you know, from there, we're just able to go as a group. And, yeah, and have probably one of the most expensive trips.
Yeah,
I still feel it to today, but it was really one of the, like, you know, for the memories. So.
Yeah, I feel you. Mm. And from your point of view, Jack, the friendship?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of hit all those beats. I don't know if it was sophomore year or junior year where we ran across each other at the gym, but I definitely remember you were on the BBA e-board, so I saw him a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, you were definitely running a lot of those events, And then we had like a mutual friend. And like, I think from that point, like, I was just like around this person so many times. I was like, I might as well, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, meet this dude and see what he's about. And one thing I like about Ryan, and like, to this day, like, something I feel like that we clicked on is like, he's really always on go. Like, he's always ready to like do something, to like, go out, get lit or whatever. So like, that's something I really respect. Like, even like now, like, he like, he's ready to go out this weekend and like do all these other things. So yeah, around spring break, junior year, I mentioned the trip. I know he was going on his trip, but like he said, like, the dudes kind of like flaked out. It dropped out. So I was like, yo, you said you was finna go to London anyways. I was like, yo, you could just tag along. But like, it was a lot of bread up front, but he was willing to drop the bread. So he was like, all right, bet. And like, the trip was like amazing. Like, just top to bottom. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I think on trips like that, it's like you really lock in with people because you're spending like a lot of like hours with them. You're moving a lot. You're doing a lot of like logistics. You're trusting people with money, expenses. And it's like you kind of fast forward a relationship. So I feel like, and during that time, like, we really locked in. And then like, you know.
Definitely. Still the test of time. First time being out the country, especially with just like friends. Like, you know, like first time actually, it was our first major trip together. It was like, we never did something local. It was just like the first trip as friends. So I think from there, we would just like create that bond, you know, like get closer, create that like closer relationship. Because now it's like, just from that, from the memories and stuff, like, we're friends for life. It's like, build those connections.
Yeah.
So like traveling, especially like when you travel with people, that's where you really meet the people that you're really like your close ones. Like,
for sure. Yeah. People's true colors really come out when you travel with them. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Examples?
I get
No names, but yeah.
I mean, there's been a couple trips where like, you know, when like fights, you know, Miami trips.
Yeah. Okay.
Like something like that. Like where like things like people like crash out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had a Miami trip or experience like that, but I definitely will say like during stressful situations when you're traveling, you do see people like their true character rear their head sometimes and like you notice some things. I won't say that happens to a particular kind of person or gender of people, but we haven't had to like come across anything like that really. I mean, we had arguments, but
but we ended it immediately. Like, you know, we talked over. Like, we didn't keep it to us. Like, keep it. Like, we made sure that if we had an issue, like, we just talked up.
Hash it out, like men.
And like, it's all as men. So
yeah. I feel.
It could have been money wise. It could have been just like, I didn't like the way you were acting today. I didn't like the way you talked. Like, you know, just.
And these trips, were you guys like living together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The one where you went to England, did you like? So you just left your aunt's place and then you?
Yeah. Funny story. When I was in London, for a day. I landed that same day in London, and I slept at my aunt's spot. And then the next day, we left London for Paris. So.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So, but you were in London for a minute, no?
Yeah, we were in London for like 2 days. We were there. We came like a day or two before Ryan. Yeah. And then we were just kind of like chilling, seeing the sights. Like, the main chunk of the trip was like France for like 3 days and then Spain for 4 days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then we circled back to London for a little bit. But
okay.
In my opinion, London is just buns. Like, London is not here, bro.
I like the accent, but my experience there too.
But like, you don't feel like if you be traveling, right? Why not like stay at some joint for like 4 or 5 days and actually experience it fully compared to like doing the 2 days, 2 days, 2 days?
Okay. So for that trip, I think we kind of just wanted to do a lot of things at the same time.
Yeah, I think maybe
London, you could have gave it a better, you know, could have stayed in London for a bit longer. Because for the trip, we stayed a long time in Paris and we actually got bored in Paris. Like after the third day, we actually like, what's left?
We was wilding in Paris.
So,
yeah.
And then, so I think maybe that trip was like, we were just thinking about doing a lot of things at the same time or like for the amount of time we had. So we didn't really, you know, emphasize on putting like more time or like spending more time. Like, as I said, in London, we were only in London for like a day and a half.
Yeah.
And then Paris for like 3-4 days and then Valencia.
But also, like, we linked up with one of our mans and who was in France.
Mm. Okay.
So that was a thing too, because like, we knew he was going to be there for like the whole duration of spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So we linked with him there. And like you said, like, we was kind of a little ambitious with it. Like, we were just like, yo, we going to Europe. Let's go see like the biggest like popping spots in Europe.
Yeah.
Low key, like, we could have went about it like a better way because, like, you know, we wasn't really intentional with it. Like, that's why like the Brazil trip was like, let's do a trip where we like fully just enjoy the actual country for what it is and like do like all the large things that people come for to do, like, but also like all the little things, like the cultural things too.
Okay, I feel you. Yeah. And then like fast forward on the timeline. I know y'all are both in Dubai too.
I forgot about that.
So tell me about the Dubai experience in terms of like, obviously you went to the study abroad joint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about that experience. Like, you know, for people who are interested in that in terms of, you know, how much studying actually goes on, how much of it is just a good time. You know what I'm saying? Your choice ain't affiliated with UMD. So, you know, tell me about that.
Let me take this first because he had a different experience because he was coming back from Dedi December straight to Ghana. So his whole winter was
crazy.
We'll
get into that too. Yeah. Okay. All
right. But for me, first I want to say is just like people, I feel like people like get have misconceptions on social media. They be thinking like I like financed this whole trip to like Dubai, like I'd be going out like I really just be like kind of strategic with it. Like it was a study abroad trip. I knew I'd be learning. It's like with the school. But then it was like there was scholarships available, and it was just like literally just like essays you had to write to get the scholarship and to go on the trip. So I was able to like finance it, got everything paid for, and then some. So I had money to spend over there.
Oh wow!
And like what people won't like actually like know, like Dubai maybe like fancy and stuff like that, but like I forgot what their money was called, but it was like five.
Was it dirham?
Yeah, it was like 5 to 1. So it was like 5 dirhams to 1 U.S. dollar. So your dollar got pretty far out there. But now like it was educational in the morning. We was visiting like banks and like companies and like different financial institutions and like also like supply chain areas. But then at night they kind of just like let us off the leash and we kind of got to do our own thing. Now we was there for like good like 10 days. And like, I remember like there was like every mall we went to like progressively got larger. Like I'm talking about like 1,000 or 2,000 stores. Like there was a whole aquarium in one. Like just, it was just crazier. And it was just like, it got to the point where like it was overwhelming for me. Cause like I'm not from the country, but like I'm from the eastern shore of Maryland, right?
Okay.
So like, you know, I said the farmlands and all the other stuff. So like after a while, all the artificial stuff kind of got to me. I was like, bro, this is cool. Like this is like literally like the 10th building I've seen as like that's like taller, like it's like 1,000 miles up in the air or something like that. Like, after a while, I was just like, I'm trying to see some real trees.
Fair.
I mean, I enjoyed it. And Ryan enjoyed it. And Ryan can speak more to his experience.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the experience. I think coming from Ghana, you know, like two different countries, like two different experiences. I'd say like Dubai actually was better than I expected. You know, it's always like this misconception about like the Middle East. People say it's not safe. People say like stuff about like as a foreigner, like they didn't, you know, they have the best experience. But for me, I would say I definitely had a good experience. And for a study abroad with the people I went with like, I would say like the perfect group.
Yeah.
We kind of knew each other. We're all like friends. So we made the experience better. Like we made sure that like, we would go out after, like, you know, after, like, the actual educational stuff. Like, after the educational trips, we would just go out, try to visit the city a bit more, like, go to different spots. Like, we went to this spot, like, Miracle Garden.
Yeah.
You know, it's an actual artificial garden, but it was still really tough. Got one of, like, my best flicks there. And I think that's where, like, the group I was with for the study abroad, we kind of got close from there. And I would say it was a good trip. It's worth it. I do recommend it for people. And financially, talking about scholarships, I was in the same situation as like Ed. I got enough scholarships to actually pay off the full study, the study abroad, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Oh, wow.
And the funny story is I actually got an outside scholarship that helped me book my flight. It actually helped me towards my Ghana trip. So I used that money for my Ghana trip and also getting to Dubai and stuff. So I'll say financial part, the business school or even just Maryland in general, there's a lot of opportunities for scholarships, like when they study abroad scholarships in general. So I think that shouldn't be a reason why people don't study abroad. And also it doesn't just have to be Dubai. Like there's a lot of study abroad opportunities, but Dubai, if you go with the right people, it'll definitely be a good experience. And also, I feel like people shouldn't be discouraged to like visit the Middle East because it's actually safer.
That's what I was about to say. When you said the whole joint about like not being safe, I was like, bro, a lot of people say like, God willing, you make crazy bread, I'm going to go settle in Dubai. No one's going to bother me. You know what I'm saying? I can go about my, like, bro, my something, I don't even know if it's true, but something like, I remember growing up, my dad would always say is like, you can be in like Dubai or something like that. You can leave your wallet and then come back 10 hours later, it'll still be there somehow.
Nah, that's true.
Yeah.
You can leave it for all day. Yeah. Nobody's going
to
touch
it. Because, like, they know that, like, bro, if you actually do it, like, something's going to happen to you. It's not going to be, like, some little pat on the, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
you're going to die.
Yeah, bro. So, like,
I mean, that was kind of, it was kind of brought up a little bit. Like, I don't want to get into politics, but, like, they're run by, like, kind of like a, not a dictatorship. It's like a royal family's running. And, like, the sheikh or whatever, he's making, like, all the decisions. But he's, like, pushing innovation. But like when you deep it, like they're building like artificial islands in like 2 months. Like it's crazy, like the work they're doing. But it's like you think about like what conditions are the people like you know, who are actually like working on these projects, like what they're living in. Mm-hmm. These are people that are coming in from Africa, and like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
I feel what you're saying.
The lesser, more unfortunate parts. Like, we went to an Afro Beats club, and you know, I don't speak too much of what was going on in there in that club, but like, you could tell that like that people are going there for a reason. It wasn't for good reasons.
Okay,
yeah.
And also, you can't be homeless in Dubai either.
What do you mean?
They just say it's illegal to be homeless. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but like, I mean, I never saw a homeless person, but they just said some of the laws, you just can't be homeless, which is interesting.
Well, I'm trying, like, so if I don't if I don't got bread to get a house, is the government gonna like help me, type? Or like,
I don't, they might kick you. I don't know.
I'll just be deported because
I'll be deported.
I mean, that is true because like the only way you can get into Dubai is if you have a visa, work visa. Yeah.
Okay,
so it's like you can't like just be like someone just like around there like sleeping on the street. So you have to have a job to be there. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And obviously that was like through the Smith School, right?
This program. Yeah.
Okay, got you. And yeah, using that as kind of like a segue, guys are both in the business school at UMD. Mm-hmm. Obviously, through like outside things, through like, you know, the things that you've acquired while in school, you guys have gotten like some pretty cool internships. So I definitely want to talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, EY, Nike, Dell, you know what I'm saying? Those are big names. So like, just kind of want to give people a perspective on like, you know, how they can go about getting those internships. So like, starting with you, Ed, because I don't know when people are going to click off, we have to start with the big names first. So let's go, with Nike first. How'd that come about? And like, one thing I want to say is that I think it's pretty cool is obviously I've done like research into your work and like, you've like made Nike a big part of like, you know, the work that you've done. Yeah. So like, it's actually cool for it to come full circle and you're actually like working there. That's true.
I was doing a lot of like artwork and I had like Nike symbols, like kind of like emblazoned on these characters and stuff like that. Funny enough, I got it through MLT. You mentioned that program. And there was a dean in the business school called Dean Mullins, Victor Mullins. He's now at NYU.
Yeah.
And he kind of pushed like a lot of us, like minority students and student leaders to like apply for this program. And like, I didn't really know what it was. I was like, MLT, like he was just like really like nagging us in our email. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll apply. It's just an essay and a video. Mm-hmm. It was asking for a lot. I'm not gonna lie. It was asking for like multiple video essay questions. But I was like, all right, I'd do it. And then like, I got in. And then it's crazy because landing Nike got me kicked out of MLT though.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because what happened was, is I applied through the MLT portal, whatnot. And I
actually first explain what MLT is.
MLT is like the Management Leadership for Tomorrow, and it's like a program that kind of like helps minority students kind of excel in career, different career paths. Like they have like comp sci, software engineering, business, like kind of like anything you can really think of. And like their goal is to get like minority students making like the top, C-suite. They said like they guaranteed like six figures after graduation. Something like that. Okay, and like it's actually true, I think. But yeah, so they had like a lot of like exclusive internship. They had exclusive links, and I seen Nike on one of them. I was like, all right, bet. Mind you, this was like August. It's like early August. I apply. Nike never gets back to me, so I was like, all right. It's like September, October, and that's like for people who aren't business majors, that's like prime time to get an internship or like a job. Is like around that time. That's like prime season. So like, I'm stressing. So I lock in with Dell. I lock in with Dell, actually, funny enough. And I remember because like they was interviewing me, like, and I remember Ryan was interviewing, and like they're just like, yeah, we could be roommates out there. And like I kind of did them dirty, I won't lie, because like I had like they had like execs like interviewing me just to talk to me, just to get me on board. So like they really all like, wanted me. So I was like, all right, bet. And I locked in with them. I signed the offer. Ink was dry, right? Come December, I get a little sneaky little email from Nike talking about, oh, we want to give you a little phone call interview. I was like, low-key, I shouldn't be taking this call, but I'll do it anyways.
Yeah.
So I took the call and just kind of asked me about my interests, like my story, like why I like Nike. Nike's a lot like that. It's like it's less about the business, it's more about like kind of like storytelling and branding. That's like a huge theme right now in business, is storytelling. So yeah, I take the call and I get another interview. I get another interview. Then I finally get the role, and it's like December, and I'm like, I'm sitting on like, yo, what do I do? Because this is my first time in this position where like, this is like my dream job, but like I'm also like already locked in with somebody, right? So I ended up taking, like, I called my parents and I called my older brother, who's like my mentor. I took a bet on myself. I think I told you too, right before.
Yeah.
I told y'all, I told them, because I'm not gonna lie, I had a couple interns at MLT, like, who were gonna lock in with Dell. And I was like, already like kind of considering Nike, but yeah, I reneged on Dell. They got mad. They went back to MLT. They told my mentor. My mentor was trying to like advocate for me, but they got me kicked out the program because of that. Because like it was in one of the bylines, like when you get join MLT, you cannot renege on a corporate sponsor or a corporate partner. Okay. So yeah, but I was like, man, I don't really care. I got Nike, you know what I'm saying? So
no, for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of the story there. And like, I mean, Nike internship was cool. It was cool. I say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we can talk more about like the actual experience. But like, I wanted to like go back on like, you know, like you like rescinding your acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. Like I want to like talk about that in the sense like for me personally, I got like offers throughout the Big Four, right? I'm accounting, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing that like people would tell me is like, yo, accept all of these joints and then like, bro, if whatever one that you feel like doing, do it. Because like you're talking about MLT, but I think one thing that people don't realize is that like all of these like offer letters say like the same way that like we can let you go at any time. Yeah. You can say the same thing. So like talk to me just about like, you know, were you just thinking like, yo, it's Nike, so that's why I'm just gonna like take it? Or were you thinking just about like the Dell aspect of like, yo, if I take this, it's gonna give me a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to get a job in 3-4 years because I rejected Dell. Because people have that conception.
That's what I heard. Like I heard both of those things. I heard that like it doesn't matter, but like I've also heard like on the flip side, like on the other side, like you will be blacklisted from this company. You cannot like apply there again. Mm-hmm. And where I was coming from, and I think Ryan kind of understands because he's a supply chain major, mm-hmm. is that Dell has like the biggest technological supply chain. I don't know how where it was so hard. And like that's why I really want to lock in with them. I was like, yo, this is a good opportunity to like, you know, sharpen my skills and like be in an environment that's like the best of the best, especially mm-hmm. in tech, because you know tech is really like, making a lot of the cheese right now. But at that same notion, I was just like, Nike would be a cooler experience. I initially applied to Nike first, and like I'm thinking like on some like Disney shit, like yo, like this is me following my dreams. Like this is like if I'm locking in with Nike, like this is me doing what I want to do for real. Mm-hmm. And like I also had like the creative stuff in my bag too, so I'm just like, once I get my foot down the door, I'm going to knock the door down and like really talk to the people I really want to talk to and do the things I really want to do. Mm-hmm. My degree was more like a service to my parents instead of like actually what I really wanted to do.
Just let this finish. I'm going to continue. Wait.
You talk about my decision, why I picked it.
Yeah. So you're talking about, you know, like in terms, like one big thing was like, you know, being able to, when you do get that opportunity, you know, not just like the, It was what was it, supply chain? That's what you
were doing? Yeah, they were both supply chain jobs.
Okay, both supply chain. But you were talking about with Nike also, like, obviously, when you referred to, like, I want to, like, do the things that, like, I'm also passionate about, I'm assuming you were talking about, like, art, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could have, like, somehow, like, you know, use that opportunity, being at Nike.
Graphic,
you know,
design, so, like, yeah, all that stuff.
So were you able to do that in some ways, would you say?
That's funny enough, kind of. It's still, like, stuff is still in the works right now, so I won't speak too much of it or jinx it or nothing like that. But I definitely met with a couple of teams out there, a couple like, you know, higher execs who are working on like, you know, like the NBA graphics, who are working on like just a lot of the creative stuff at Nike, and showed them my work. They really messed with it. Some things went on during this past like recruiting season. I won't really get into, but definitely that relationship is still there, and I'm definitely still going to try it, even though that's not my full-time career. But now, like, I got to talk to the people I really wanted to. I got to see, like, the stuff they're working on and seeing, like, how I could provide value. And, like, I mean, yeah, that's all I can really say to that.
Fair. Yeah. And, you know, for you, Ryan, talk about, like, Dell, how that came about and just a good experience.
Oh, for Dell, it was kind of similar to him with MLT. So mm-hmm. I think I actually got message on LinkedIn by a recruiter at Dell. So from there, we just had, like, a coffee chat, and then the coffee chat led to, like, the interview for the position, and then I interviewed for the position and I got the offer. So I think actually after I got the Dell offer, it was like the perfect case scenario for me, because my goal was to actually, I wanted to intern and live in Texas because I had an interest in moving from Maryland and live in Texas after mm-hmm. graduation. So later, once I got that offer, I think I stopped applying for like, you know, more jobs, because it was perfect. It was like Austin, Texas. They'll pay for my housing. The pay was pretty good too, and it was supply chain. So I just accepted the offer, and while I interned there, I would definitely say it was the experience I got from the internship, because I'm supply chain management, information systems. But I was able to use both skills while from my project, because I used a lot of analytics all in supply chain. So the experience overall, I got like a pretty broad experience for my internship. And I actually got the return offer, just the work I put in. So definitely the hard work pays off. So yeah, and also probably one of my best summers too. Because the internship, Dell, I think they do a good job of recruiting for interns because they'll have like over 1,000 interns for the summer. So, you know, it was like a lot of people that I got the chance to meet. And I also went to Dell with like some of my friends from UMD. They also interned at Dell.
Okay.
So, you know, we got there, created that group, like that friend group. And just, we made sure like at work, you do at work stuff. And on the weekends, you do weekend stuff. So.
Okay, I got you. And this was, where was this internship? Because yours was in?
Memphis.
Memphis. And then what was about
you? Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
And it was last summer. So May to August 2023.
Okay, got you. And so obviously you guys both said that the Nike one was through MLT as well or not?
Yeah, it was through MLT.
Those ones was through MLT as well. So like, would you guys say, you know, obviously you guys do your thing, you know, to get to where you need to be, but like, talk about like, I guess like MLT in terms of like that opportunity being able to get you those positions, or and also just talk about, I guess, like connections in general, because like one thing I'm starting to realize is that like, you can get some places that like you're, that someone else probably deserves more just because you're in a certain program or because like you know a certain person for real, you know. And that's not a knock on like what you're doing, because like low key, the opportunities I've got have also been through connections too. So yeah, tell me how you like navigate those like type of like areas to like be able to like get to positions like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing MLT did for us was the conferences. We're like, they flew us out and we were able to meet the other interns, people from like Ivy Leagues, people from like these large institutions who are also like driven to join MLT. Cause what you find out is like MLT, like the process to get in was so like, you know, like it was a lot of things you had to do. And she realizes like people who actually are like dogs, like who want to go at it. So I just remember like it was the summer before junior year. Summer before junior year, like around June, they flew us out to Austin, Texas, funny enough, at like Deloitte University. And it was like a 2-day trip. And we just all got to like meet our cohort. And like, it was, like, it was just a lot of connection. Like, I built, like, a lot of connections from those events. And, like, to this day, still keep up with these people. And they're driven people who are going to work in tech, work at, like, big Fortune 500 companies, the big four companies and stuff like that. So I definitely say, like, MLT definitely helped with that. And as far as, like, the connections, like, even the full-time job I have now, I wouldn't have got that if, like, somebody, like, I met, like, my friend here at UMD, she's an engineer student. And she just shot me this like link, and I was just like, "All right, let me apply." And I got like the full time job off of it. So I feel like college, the most crucial thing you could take away from it is the people that you meet here, because like someone knows someone that like is going to get you to where you want to be at, right? Mm-hmm. So as long as you make the right connections, do not waste your time. You can be the smartest guy in the world. You can be the best at finance. But like, if you're not like a person that people want to work with, if you're not like somebody compatible with like a certain group or a certain company culture, you're not going to get hired. That's like, that's literally what all interviews are for. They're screening out if you're a person that is like actually workable. So that's what I think.
When talking about making the right connections, though, I feel like that's easier said than done, though. Like, what goes on in your head, like subconsciously, that like makes you be like, yo, I need to speak to that person, other than like just like, okay, they have notoriety. You see what I'm saying? Because you can make a lot of connections, but those could be the same ones that bring you down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, with me, I don't know, Ryan, you might have a different take on this. For me, I feel like I learned that everybody has value. Like even like a crackhead will say something like wise, at least at some point. Like even children, especially children, because like kids like have so much wonder for the world, where they see things in different perspective, right? So like, every interaction I have with somebody isn't a wasted interaction. Like, I'll talk to anyone. Like, I can learn something from you. I can learn something about, like, you know, what you do, like, how you view life, and, like, I don't know, how you, like, your work ethic or other things like that. So that's why, I won't say, like, I've ever had an interaction where, I didn't gain nothing from it, you know?
I can kind of agree with that, kind of disagree, but I think the more connections you have, like, just actually trying to build, like, work on that, because, like, example, like, networking, you want to, like, learn how to have the skill, like, if you're talking to a recruiter, like, you don't want to be generic or sound like everybody else or just sound like a robot. You want to be able to, like, you know, learn how to engage with recruiters, engage with people, and just build, like, that network. Sometimes you might even talk to people you have no interest with, like, talk to a company you know you don't ever plan to apply to or work to, but, you know, just trying to have to learn how to, like, building that, like, just building that interaction, just building that conversation is a good way to, like, you know, get to where you want to get, or like building your network, just being more comfortable to talk. So when you actually talk to people you're interested to talk to, you know how to approach them. You just don't. Because at the end of the day, we're I'm not saying we're all competing against each other, but
I mean, we are.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
And I would say with the, like, how the job market is now, like, connections are, like, really, I feel like connections are even more important than just, yeah, like, your grades and stuff. Because if you apply to a job, just let's say a random job, like, there's probably over 1,000 people applying for that same job that you're applying to. Yeah. But what's going to make you the one that, like, what's going to make you different from everybody else is sometimes going to be connection. You can be talking to a recruiter. They might be able to vouch for it. Where, like, when they see your application, they see your name, they had a good interaction. They're like, this student, he knows interesting. So, and then that's just something like that. You might get an interview compared to somebody else. Like, maybe I have a 3.2, but I talk to a recruiter and I get an interview, but somebody else has a 4.0.
Yeah.
All his grades are excellent, but his resume is just all schoolwork and stuff. So compared to him, he might not get an interview. So it's like, connections are really important, because you just having connections now, it can just build like a barrier compared to somebody who doesn't have connections. So you want to put yourself out there. You just don't want to be to yourself, or just, you know, a lot of people take academics really seriously, which I understand, but if you're a business major, I think your network's more important than your actual academics.
For sure. If you want to also just enjoy school as well, like in terms of the 4 years that you have, like, there's been so many assignments over this past semester, I've just fleed it, bro. You know? Like, if you just want to, bro, because, like, it's only, I mean, you could go master's, whatever, but, like, it is only 4 years that you have to, like, you know, you're here for a purpose, but, like, bro, you're going to look back on some joints and be like, I should have just slid to this instead of, you know, try to get that 95 instead of an 85. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you said you're going, you're taking a return offer to Dell, right?
No, I actually declined the offer.
Oh, okay, there we go. Let's get into that, though.
Yeah, I would say that was an interesting choice. Mainly, I did like the company, but there was like a couple of reasons why I just didn't take the offer. The first one, Austin, Texas. I said I like Texas, but Austin primarily wasn't the best city. I don't want to mention diversity, but that's a major factor. Austin, it wasn't like diverse enough. So I just didn't really, you know, feel like living in that environment. Another reason was a start date. Start date was really early, June 5th. And just moving from Maryland to, like, Austin, like, graduating and just immediately moving to Texas was, like, I felt like it was a lot of work. And I just wanted more time to myself, like, mentally. Because I've been in college for 4 years. And, like, just graduating and a week later, I'm in the office working like a corporate job. It wasn't something for me. And the other reason was, I would say, the way Dell approached my situation. So I tried to, like, explain to them about my late graduation and stuff, but, you know, they just basically told me, fly to Texas for a week, attend the boot camp week, and then after that, use your vacation hours to move to Texas to work for the full-time job.
Ain't
so
doing that, bro.
That I felt like when they sent me that email, I kind of felt kind of disrespected, and I kind of felt disrespected in a way where it's like, I worked hard enough, like, I actually have like a genuine reason to like want a later start date, because I know. And it was interesting enough, like, the cohort of last year, like the other one, they started in July. But why does our specific cohort start in, like, early June? Which wasn't kind of fit.
I feel. And then, so, what are we looking at right now? Just, like, still searching for options? Or?
Yeah, right now, I had a recent interview with Target.
Okay.
That's, like, that's a Game 7 interview. So, right now, it's Game 7.
Game 7.
Warriors, Cavs. But I'm done.
So, what, you were down 3-1?
Yeah, I'm down 3-1, but, that interview, I think I did well, so we're just seeing. Hopefully, I get the full-time job, and actually, it will be in Maryland, Upper Marlboro. So
okay, that's tough.
If I were to start working, it would be easy, you know, just moving out from campus, because it's just Upper Marlboro, like 30 minutes from College Park, so be able to find my own spot. So it won't be a lot of work, like, compared to moving to a whole different state, you know, trying to settle down. Like, there's a lot of it's a whole process. So
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm actually very interested in, like, what goes into that mindset of, like, being able to reject a company like Dell, though. Like, given the fact that, like, you know, a lot of sacrifice that would have to be made on your end that may not be fair. But, like, I'm not going to lie. If I was in that same position, I'm not saying I'll take the offer, but, like, Dell, and then, like, I'm sure the bread was probably straight, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just, bro, there's not, like, ever certainty, like, when it comes to, like, the job market. So, like, that's how I'm interested to, like, know, like, why were you so sure about it in terms of, like, you just back yourself, like, you just know, like, yo, I'm still going to pull something else that's, like, still, like, just as good?
Yeah, I think the thing is, early on, I was getting interviews with other companies. And back then, the job market wasn't as bad as it is now. So it was just, I felt like I had like more options. But I mean, even now, sometimes I really think about like, wow, I kind of bet on myself and I'm right now about to graduate in 2 weeks, still applying for jobs. But I think it was just sometimes you have to make tough choices. And I just didn't want to accept, I mean, that was a lot of money that I just, but like, especially as a 21-year-old, like fresh out of like college. But like sometimes you have to make choices where you're like, the better like for yourself, like you have to make, I said tough choices. And I just felt overall, me going back to Dell wasn't like what I really wanted. So I had to make the tough choice to, you know, decline and bet on myself. And I don't regret the choice. Like sometimes, you know, I don't have an offer, as I mentioned, but it's like, you just have to make those choices. And I feel like overall at the end, it will pay off. So I'm not too stressed out about it. So.
And obviously, Eddie, you go into Microsoft, right?
Yeah, I am going to Microsoft.
Yeah, so tell me about how that came about, the decision to go there and things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, actually, truth be told, Nike, I didn't get a return offer from Nike. And it was such a weird kind of situation. Only because... This shit's gonna happen every time I start talking, bro. What the hell?
Yeah. So continue on the Nike joint.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't get a return offer, and like the reasoning was kind of like, it was kind of backhanded. Like it was good. It was a backhanded compliment, right? Because like during the whole internship, I kind of disclosed to them like I'm a creative person, I'm an artist, I do this stuff on the side, and like I would show them like hints of it, but like during like my project went smoothly. I got like a whole different team to like take over like development of my project. Like I was doing like above and beyond. So like I'm thinking like I'm locked in, right? And then my final presentation, I remember my manager told me like the project I was working on was like, he kind of reminded him like a retro game. So like I made my whole presentation like a style, like a retro video game. Like it was actually like crazy creative and stuff. And like it kind of blew them away, and they all like really like liked it. But basically my recruiter was just, what she said was just like, this role, like the supply chain role didn't seem like it was right for you. Like we have more creative roles, and like we're opening up all like our creative like roles are opening up in like early June, like January, February, around that time. And this was like around like August, so like after the end of the internship. So I was like, I was kind of let down, because I was like, dang. I mean, I really didn't like Memphis either, and I kind of let that be known. I just didn't really mess with like, you know, what the grit and grind down south things they had going down there. And like, we was in like, I don't know if you know things about Memphis. The Kia boys was at large. Like there was
storm. I don't know about the Kia boys, bro.
Kia boys, I literally drive a Kia, bro. Like I didn't bring my car down there. And like hurricanes was like hitting our place like all the time. It was a hurricane. It was storms, but it would knock out the power for like days on end. So it was just things about Memphis I really just didn't like. But I think my manager kind of picked up on that too. So like those were kind of the factors that played in that role. But yeah, so like I kind of, like Ryan did, I kind of bet on myself. I was like, all right, bet. I don't have this internship. I mean, I don't have this like full-time role. And then I was applying for jobs all the way up until like, you know, January before Dubai. I didn't really even get nothing. I had a couple interviews here and there, but like nothing really set in stone. It was like literally September. The market just went like straight like trash. It was bad. Like a lot of things were going on. People were getting laid off from Google. Like Meta was downsizing. There was a lot of things going on. But now, like, literally God came in clutch earlier this year. Like, I got, like, this link just came up, like, through my messages. So, like, my friend hit me up about this role. She's an engineer. And she's like, you should just apply. And I was like, all right. Like, I don't see myself working at Microsoft. Like, this is such a big company. But, like, you know what? I might as well. I had a super day, which was, like, 3 days of interviews. No, 3 interviews all in one day, back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And like I said, bro, like, I was doing some crazy glazing on them calls, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, but that's what you gotta do, though. And, like, I ended up locking in because, like, I mean, one thing I don't know if it's like advice, but like, I'll make sure that I don't talk strictly business when I'm on interview calls, right? Because okay. Things like they don't want, like, you really don't wanna be interviewing, talking about the business, and they don't really wanna be doing that, but it's like they kinda have to. So I really like to talk to them because everybody likes to talk about themselves, right? So I really like to talk to them about themselves, but also like their interests. Like, I remember, like, earlier this year, it was going to be back before between Microsoft and TikTok. So with TikTok, I was talking to these guys about like comic books, animations, like for like the whole call. I wasn't even talking to them about the job. But they were just like, yo, we really just mess with your energy and like your passion for like what we do. And Microsoft, I was talking to them about like PCs because like I built my own PC, or my friend built it for me. But like software and servers like that. And the dude, we were just geeking out about it. Like we went over the call for like 15 minutes. So it was like things like that. If you find those like mutual connections, like these people are going to hire you. So like, you know, that kind of just kind of played a role. And I like my talks with Microsoft more than TikTok. So I was like, let me lock in with these guys. Plus, if you know Microsoft, they treat your boy really nicely, you know what I'm saying, with the offer package. So that's all I'll say. I'll say that. Yeah.
Fair enough. And you did talk about when you were talking with TikTok, they messed with you, you know, more so for like, you talking about your art, comics, things of that nature. Yeah. So I think that's a perfect segue to talk about your art, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me about that whole like, well, because you've been doing, you make some crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing some research, obviously. You know, like you've been doing this since you were a child. Like it was like as early as like, you know, going to the library and just like doodling, you know what I'm saying, with your siblings, things of that nature. So tell me where that like love for art comes from, and then like let's go into like, you know, what your approach is when it comes to like creating these masterpieces.
Oh man, I appreciate that, bro. I feel like you over embellished it a little bit at the end, but nah. Slow. So basically, I've been drawing my whole life, and it's like, it's not really a sad story. It's not really, but like basically, me and my siblings were just drawing. Like, we just kind of all were creatives, and my parents were like the most well off, and my parents were like really like working a lot. So like we didn't, and my dad like really didn't like SpongeBob for some reason growing up. So like we didn't have cable.
I was not allowed to watch SpongeBob growing up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nickelodeon, PBS Kids, Sprout. Maybe Disney Junior, Nick Junior. That's it, bro.
Niggas was raised on Curious George, bro. Curious George, bro. But nah, so like we was just like the way we had to entertain ourselves. We had to do like a lot of just drawing and art in the house. I remember drawing on books, drawing on the walls, getting in trouble for it. But what kind of like kind of helped me like kind of like lock in with art. It was around second grade, bro. Like I tested out of like the regular like education, whatever. So I got to Magna Gifted and Program. But, like, mind you, I'm from, like, Salisbury, Eastern Shore, right? So, like, it was, like, segregation crazy. It was, like, a whole different school on the nice side of town. And it was just straight white kids. I was the only black kid. So, like, I kept to myself a lot. So, I was doing a lot of drawing. Like, I was getting better while I was doing it. But, like, I wasn't really socializing. Like, I was really mad introverted. But, yeah, then, like, I just kind of just kept growing that passion. And then high school. Up to that point, high school, I was just learning. I was just known as being the artist. But like, I got into sports and did other things like that too. Like, I finally got on my show when I started seeing more black people in my middle school and high school and stuff like that. But yeah, I just love doing like drawing like characters like comic books. And I was working like a fast food job, and I finally saved up for my iPad. I still use to this day my iPad. Yeah, like in 2019, and like that purchase, like that crazy, because that joint has made like so many dividends off of that, bro. Like it's actually crazy. But yeah, and then like, I mean, my process is, I don't know, it's just like if I see comedy, like, I'm really into JJK right now, like Jujutsu Kaisen, like that is
top three.
Stop drawing, I can't stop reading that. But now like a lot of my art is just influenced by like anime, cartoons, movies I watch. I just like making cool connections. Like I had like a Jujutsu Kaisen, Cowboy Bebop, and like Pulp Fiction one, like all mixed combined. Cause I was like, bro, that would be cool to see these characters in this lens. And that's kind of what I like doing. Is like, my, I would say like 80% of my phone is full of like just like screenshots of like cool art or cool ideas, and I literally just like just, you know, go off of that. So yeah.
And you talked about, actually, now let me switch to this question, cause I asked this to everyone who's in this like creative type of like niche, right? Majoring or studying like art in general, what's your opinions on that? Because I'm not gonna lie to you, I say this every time, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of time. Damn. But like, tell me your opinion.
Are you standing on that?
Yeah.
You said,
bro, I think it's a waste of time, bro. Like, bro, a lot of these things when it comes to just being a creative, bro, like, and that creative is such a broad term, but I'm just like, bro, YouTube, practice, trial and error, like, that's all you need. So like, tell me what's your opinion on that? All
right, I don't want to say nothing crazy because I have friends right now studying studio art. You know what I'm saying?
If you guys want to come on the podcast, I'll take it back.
But I'll give you my honest opinion because I am self-taught. You know what I'm saying? So like, all this comes from me, like me learning on my own. Like I ain't never had no professional artist like sit me down and like teach me how to do stuff, right? And funny enough, the biggest art school in Maryland, Micah, gave me a full ride scholarship, which I turned down to go to like UMD. So like, I could have gone down that route. Me, I just think school is, I don't say it's a scam. I just don't like the idea of higher education, especially at the point of like college, because it's just like, it feels like the first 2 years is just BS. It's just extra high school where you just learning gen eds.
For
and
sure.
And then the next 2 years when you finally get into your major, it's so broad and diverse in like what you're studying in. You can't really fixate on like what you're gonna do post grad, because like what I'm doing after I graduate isn't like stuff I learned. It's probably like one chapter we covered in like one class. It isn't like everything we learned, right? So I got my degree honestly to appease my Haitian parents, because they was gonna be tweaking if I didn't, right? And that's why I don't suggest the path of education or like to college to everyone, because I'm just like, it's college is not for everyone. But if you do pursue this path to make the most out of it and like use it to like your fullest, of course. But if you are not gonna go down to college, like if I was, cause I could see myself not going to college and like still like probably being better than where I'm at now, because I felt like school kind of distracted me. But I was like, if you're going to go that route and like be a creative without like no like education kind of like safety net, you better like lock in. You better like be like balls to the wall, like Kanye, like delusional about yourself and your future, because you gotta like, you know, be like, you gotta be your biggest advocate, and you gotta kind of like see yourself there and like not have the institution kind of like backing you up or being your foundation.
Okay, I got you. And same question to you, obviously, you know, not an artist as far as I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, art, so. I feel like we, like pretty much everyone that I speak to, you know, me being from Ghana, Haiti, Cameroon, you know what I'm saying? I feel like going to college is also just a big thing, like with parents, like, you know, appeasing them. But also, like, if you don't have a plan, bro, just go. So, like, what would you say to, like, you know, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I would say being Cameroon, I'm actually not a disappointment to my parents, but, like, they expected me to be, like, you know, a doctor. My mom thought I was going to do engineering in college. So, like, when I kind of mentioned business, she just, you know, she was still okay with it, but she was just like, as long as you're going to be making money after you graduate, then that I'm okay with that. But if, you know, but if I had mentioned, like, if I tried to do, like, something like art, like, you know, movie, like, theater, like, I think she probably would have actually forced me to switch majors or, like, did something. Because, you know, well, as an African, like, especially where I come from, like, every good mother, like, single mom, you know, like, expectations, like, be able to, like, kind of help or deliver, like, after you graduate, be able to, like, help financially and stuff. So, always, like, ever since I even got college, I knew I had to do something to make money, like, immediately after I graduate. So, but I don't discourage anybody, like, you know, pick like something like what they have a passion for, but it's like you have to really think about it, like after you graduate, like, is this something, what's your goal? Like, is your goal to really make money? Like, after graduate, is your goal, you want to like really invest in your business, invest in your idea, or like do what you really love or have a passion for, but like might have to take a sacrifice. So I think I don't discourage it, but I'm not, if someone in my family, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, I would probably force them to do something that they gotta make money after you graduate, or make money in school. So,
And in terms of like being able to provide, like, you know, for your family, for your mom, and things of that nature. Now I'm thinking about the Dell offer again, though, because like, are you not thinking like, yo, like, come August, if I don't have anything locked down, I know that Dell is gonna be talked about in this house every single day, saying, "Hey, why didn't you take Dell? Why didn't you take Dell?" So, like, was that not part of like the like thought process when they're rejecting that joint?
I think the. Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. I don't know. I think at that point, not that I was cocky, but I felt really good, like, about myself after, like, that internship, after, like, the job market. I was like, I'm a senior. I have a lot of experience on my resume. I've interned for companies, like, every year since, like, freshman year to junior year. And, like, I'm in different orgs, like, MLT and stuff, and I have connections. So I felt comfortable, like, you know, I should be able to, like, secure something. You know, like, I won't have an issue if I decline that, because I'm most likely going to find a job.
Talking about Dell, talking about, you know, like, mindset, you know, in terms of, like, rejecting them, and I brought up, like, your mom.
Yeah, as I mentioned, like I said, I was kind of cocky. Didn't know the job market was getting, like, that bad. And, you know, I think by October, that's when I not got humble, but I realized, like, wow, this job market is actually, like, you know, it was at some point on LinkedIn. All you would see is just, like, layoffs. Like, like, it was insane. Like, all I would see was ex-Googler. Yeah, ex-Googler.
Yeah.
It was, like, my page, it got toxic. I was, like, I can't use LinkedIn anymore. Like, I'm not seeing any, like, happy, like, posts. Like,
bro, it's the other way around for me, bro. When I see LinkedIn, I see everybody saying, "I'm happy to announce." I'm just like, bro, I don't even want to see that no more.
I mean, now, though, because, like, people, but I'm talking about in October. I don't know. October was, that was an ugly month for a lot of people. So, but now I think about it, I mean, you know, I might still regret it, but it's just, hopefully I get something. And then, you know, I just tell my mom I took a bet. It paid off. But if it didn't, you know, it's never too late to keep applying, keep searching mm-hmm. and stuff. And the job market might be bad, but at some point I should be able to find something. And honestly, I think what's also another thing is like a lot of the jobs are like low billing. So it's like there's a lot, there's still like enough opportunities available, but it's just they're not really paying as much compared to like my Dell offer. But if it comes down to that, then I'll just, you know, just take an offer, work for a couple of years and maybe return to grad school to get a master's and just hopefully get something better after. So
also, don't get it twisted. He's gotten offers since then. You're just not taking them because I feel like that's something I respect about you, that you know your worth. And like you're not gonna go do like any odd job or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no disrespect to custodians or like become one. You're like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, like I to be your own champion is something I say, but like also like you bet on yourself, so you gotta double down and bet on yourself because you're qualified and you're deserving of like a great job. So yeah, don't forget that, bro. All right,
appreciate it.
There you go. I got my nice little feel good. Cut off. I'm just gonna say, butters for life, black heart. There we go. But kind of a little bit. We got a little bit more time, hopefully. So I want to like fast track, talk a little bit more about like the artwork and things of that nature, and like talk to me about like we talked a little bit about the process, but like how did you get to the point where like this becomes like a source of income to a certain extent? And actually, starting off, how did you know, like, yo, this is something I can do, make bread off it, and hopefully, God willing, you know, it be, like, the main source of income?
Yeah, I mean, it was a, like, unconventional pathway to making money. Because the thing is, like, what you find out is people who love the craft and really love the craft, what it is, they're not really in it for money. Money's just, like, I don't know, it's just, it's a side effect of it. And, like, it's something that can help you continue to create, right? So, I mean, I just always been an artist, but it's something I did on the side, like nothing like I really took seriously. And like, I remember before it became 2023, it was like the end of the 2022 at like towards the end. And my friend came to me and they were upset. They were just like, yo, you got like this talent. Like, why aren't you like creating? Like, I know you're like, you can do this stuff, right? And I was like, you know, you're right. I've been slacking. I've been worried about school. And that was like my junior year where I was like super involved on campus. Like I was on e-boards. I was on so many student orgs and I was not focusing on my art. I was like, all right, this is a skill I have. So it literally started off 2023. I was doing a challenge where I was doing an art piece every single day, right? I was just doing it for fun, right? And it just got to the point where like I was started pumping out like some good content. I was getting better. I was getting quicker at it. I was getting more efficient. And I was like, all right, this is cool. And I think February I did Black History Month and I was doing a lot of black celebrities and people were just like, yo, we really like mess with this art. Like you got to like, some people were in the comments like, yo, you got to start selling this. Like, can I buy a print? And I think like at that point, I didn't know that you could sell prints. I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. And then there was this this one girl who is a student here, Takaya, and she's part of a program called a nonprofit called Dare to Dream. And they have these events, usually in February, called Small Artists, Big Talent. And I remember I had walked into the Idea Factory just randomly one day. I was like, yo, what is this? And she was there. It was the day before the event. And she's just like, yeah, we got this event going on tomorrow. Like, you're an artist, right? I said, yeah. He's like, you should just sell some art. At this point, I was like, I've never sold art before, but I was like, you know, I heard McKeldin got printing. So I went to McKeldin, stayed up until like 12, until they closed, until they kicked me out, was printing. And then even the next day, went back in the morning, printed some more. It went off, and like, literally, like, from there, that point on, like, I got returns. I made, like, profit. I was like, okay, this can be a thing, right? And then, like flash forward, like, somehow, God willing, I was able to make it a DreamCon, which is like REC World, and like
that's tough.
Yeah, that was crazy, bro. Like even I finessed that because I was just a regular attendant, and I emailed them, and then like I was just like, "Yo, can I vend?" Because like the vendor applications had closed the fall prior, like October, and she got back to me around like June. Like, and mind you, the event's in July. That's a month before. And she was like, "We got one spot. Like, if you can like pay this vendor fee, then you can go." And so, you know, I had to assemble a team. I had to plan everything. I had to buy t-shirts, bro. It was crazy. But, man, like, I was so blessed and so fortunate. Also, like, not gonna lie, bro, like, DreamCon would not have been a thing if it wasn't for Ryan, bro. Like, I don't know. You don't realize how crucial you were. But, like, things just lined up so perfectly where, like, he was in Austin, Texas already for the internship. And DreamCon was in Austin. And mind you, I'm in Memphis. Yeah. So I'm ordering all the stuff I need for DreamCon. I'm sending it to his crib, and he's like holding it for me. And I get there, like he picks me up. There's some things that went down. We won't get into that, but like he was just literally just being so patient. He helped me set up, and you were there for a little bit at the event. And like Bro, we sold out of the shirts the first day. Like, so I had 100 t-shirts and we sold out. It was crazy, bro. And like, it got to the point where, like, I called my brother the next day. I was like, bro, I have no more. Like, I barely have any art. Like, I don't even know what to do. Everything is closed. I can't print nothing. It's the weekend. And it was just like, it was good problems to have, bro. Like, it almost brought me, I mean, like, it did bring me to tears, but I was on the phone with my brother. I was like, bro, like, people really out here really mess with my work. And, like, that was, like, the first time I realized that, like, this is something I really want to do. Like, I love meeting, like, people who love art, who love comics, who love anime, who love manga and stuff like that. And, like, just, like, that, those interactions I had meant more than just creating the art, I think. That makes sense. Like, people like, yo, I really love Goku. You made Goku. I really, like, I put Goku on a t-shirt. And it was like, yo, this is hard. And I was like, yeah, that's what I do it for.
I probably should have worn that shirt. I was thinking about it. I probably should have worn that shirt. That's a tough shirt. Yeah. I still have it to this day, so.
Yeah, bro.
And in terms of making money off, obviously, like, t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? That can be something that you can make money off of. But, like, how about, like, the aspect of, like, can't I just, like, take something that you've made, screenshot that joint, and then, like, it's technically mine, type? Yeah. Like, no, hold on. I'm just asking because I'm, like, I always be thinking about this, like, bro, like, you make something, you put it out there, right? And it's, like, can't someone just, like, take it and be like, if they like your art, they just take it, like, they haven't paid anything for it. So, like, tell me about that, like, type of, is that, like, a worry or concern, or, like...
Okay, you're not wrong. That's the thing. You're not wrong. Like, okay. I be thinking the same thing, too, but there's ways to combat that, right? So, like, IG, no matter, like, it's just little things that only artists really peep. Like, IG, like, when you upload something on IG, that's, like, where most of my art goes on, it, like, kills the quality. So you can't take that quality and put it on a t-shirt because it's just gonna look grainy and stuff.
Okay.
And, like... if people steal my work, I'm always like, bro, the thing of the notion is like, you can't recreate it, right? And like, you can get off that one lick, but you can't keep up with the content and stuff like that too. And like, it's my own sauce. I hope no one would do that because like, that's kind of just crazy. But like, also people don't like replicas. People don't like getting the fake stuff. They want to get stuff from the source, right? So if you want something from me, I'll make sure that like my art, I don't like doing it. I've heard people want to see my like the art I've already made on t-shirts. But like, I'll make custom art for clothing, not like the art I have now. I just think that's kind of lazy. Like, I'm not going to take something I made like two months ago and put it on a t-shirt.
Okay.
Maybe I might. I might because people keep asking me about it. But
there's one that you should.
Which one?
That Looney Tuesday. That Deadpool Maryland shirt.
Low-key, I might. That one, for that one, I might. That one.
Got to.
I might do that one for sure. Yeah.
So that's not like a big concern. Because me, I was thinking it would be a big concern. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I'm thinking more of just like the fact of like, if like the Nike stuff that you make, right? Like, actually, that's probably a bad example because Nike is Nike. So it's like, whatever. But I'm trying to think of like an example of like you've made something and it's just like, it's calm, like on your portfolio. And it's like something that like if someone takes it, they can really actually just present it as their own. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, like, kind of like how I mentioned, it's like, you can steal, but to a certain point, you can't, like, mimic, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't mimic my style. And that's, like, God, like, I've had those same thoughts before. I'm like, yo, if I post this on, especially on Twitter, like, you can literally just save an image and someone can just cut it off and, like, whatever. But, like, at this point, because, mind you, I didn't finish the a day challenge, like, every day, art a day. Mm-hmm. But, like, I got to June, right? So, like, that's, like, over 100 pieces. And that was in 1 year. And, like, I've made more art since that point. So, like, I'm sitting, like, probably, like, over, like, 400 to 500 pieces of art, like, individually. So, like, I'm not worried if someone takes one or two. Yeah, at a certain point, like, you're going, like, I have my signature hidden in every single one of my art pieces, too. So, like, that's also, I'm not worried about that either. So, it's, like, this little thing, there's steps I've taken to kind of combat that. I hope nobody will do that, but, like, yeah, I'm trying to make a name for myself. So, like, my style is, like, you know it's me, and no one else could, like, steal it.
And then in terms of advice, like, you know, people who are, you know, just creatives, or like, we can probably focus more on, like, the artist niche in general. What would you say, like, what advice would you give for someone who's, like, trying to, like, have a big break or things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of advice you can give. Definitely have a Ryan on your side, bro. Somebody who's willing to hold it down and be able to, like, I mean, because he's, like, one of my biggest supporters, but, like, also, like, you know, having a support system is important because you're constantly creating. And, like, I will say you got to have tough skin, bro, because, like, there's some pop-ups where I would go and, like, I've done poorly. Like, I haven't sold as much. And, like, I've seen other vendors not perform as well either. But, like, the next day I'll, like, sell out of everything, right? So you just got to have that motivation, that perseverance to keep pushing. But also, like, if you really love it and really enjoy what you do, like, just pursue it, like, just full throttle. Like, don't stop at all. Don't let no one deter you from it. I remember my parents, they was low-key hating on the art stuff. I'm not going to lie. They was like, why are you doing this? Like, this is, like, silly. Like, you need to lock in, be a lawyer or whatever. And then I told my like, people literally a couple months back, like, yo, I'm doing this and that. Like, I'm getting my art sold and, like, getting, like, put up in, like, places that people are buying it. And it was like, oh, wow, really? Okay, you know what? Like, now we're trying to work with you. So, like, now they're trying to get some pieces off, too, and sell it. I was like, really? Now y'all on board? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's love. They've been supporting me since day one. Like, my dad kind of helped me, you know, get into certain, like, art challenges and, like, talk to certain people. I was able to literally, nobody really knows about this. I had a collaboration with the University of Minnesota. It was like during COVID, and I was off of like just a recommendation of my dad, where like I was just able to have the university like kind of just take my art seriously and like create content for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And I guess the last thing I would want to touch on, and this is just all things that like is coming to my brain if I'm like interested in this type of thing, mm-hmm. is like profitability, right? So like I've had a lot of musicians on, and like they've talked about like, yo, at the beginning, a lot of it is like you could be making like fire music, but it costs a lot of money to produce these songs, put things out. So, like, you're either breaking even or you're just losing money. Is that like, something that, like, can be related to, like, artwork as well?
I mean, it depends on how you look at it, right? Because the thing is, like, art is not necessarily... It's not necessarily, like... You don't make a lot of money unless you're actually, like, pushing your art. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if I'm not going to pop-ups or doing stuff like that, I'm not really making that much money, right? You got to put yourself out there and put your art out there as well. So... I mean, I definitely had startup costs. So that iPad, like, I bought for, like, what, $800 back in 2019. I've probably, like, 50 times made. I'm not going to 50 times is crazy. I'm not gonna, I don't even know.
I'm going to start pocket watching. Yeah, yeah,
like 800. Probably, I probably made, like, almost, like, 8 times that or 7 times that, right? And that's just off of just purely just continuing, like, to create and, like, grind, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the beginning, of course, no matter what you do, it's going to be, like, low. Right? But, like, as long I'm sitting on a good portfolio of work, and I can also sell my work. Commissions. There's so many ways you can like make money off of art. People just gotta kind of find different ways to do it. Like you can do consulting, you can do logo work, you can do like I've been like literally like for the I mean a couple artists you have on here. Like I did a cover art for Io, for Matt. Yeah. I just did one for Kang, 242. So mm-hmm. that's coming out later. Room 242, sorry. And then also a Fontana Music Group. So like I'm collaborating with a lot of DMV artists. Trying to get them, you know, trying to like connect the creative communities here. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to make money. You just kind of have to, put yourself in position to make that money, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. And, you know, last thing I always touch upon is like long-term goals, you know, obviously for artwork. I don't know if you got like any type of side hustles you'd be looking into, trying to dive into as well.
I mean, for me, I actually had an interest in like creating my own personal blog, travel website.
Okay.
Because funny stories... I mean, it's a long-term goal, but I actually want to visit all the countries in the world. So I just wanted to also, like, you know, create my own website, recommend people, like, stuff to do and stuff. Just, like, how to, like, plan out their trips. Because something about me is, I would say I'm pretty good at planning out trips, map out, like, what to do. So mm-hmm. I haven't really started, like, you know, I haven't really worked on it because I had to go through my pictures because I have too many pictures and start, like, deleting a lot of pictures, mm-hmm. kind of arranging albums, but... I think it's something that I'm going to really get into, like, after college. Like, after I graduate, like, probably one of my main hobbies on, like, the weekends, just, like, working on it and building it. But mm-hmm. now it's still in the works, so.
Mm-hmm. I always make a TikTok, too.
TikTok?
Yeah. Everybody's saying having the TikTok. And I've been lazy with it, but, like, realistically, like, I'm starting to realize anything that you want to do, like, you will blow up a lot faster if you go to TikTok.
That's true.
That's like a man before it's banned.
That's what I'm saying. You got a couple months now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean... The question was like long-term goals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm like actively working on like my comic graphic novel / manga. Like that's like a dream goal of mine. It's like have an actual physical like book of like characters I made in my own story. Hopefully I can do something creative. As far as like career wise, I'm not mad at like, you know, funding my art pursuits with like Microsoft, you know what I'm saying? Like that's not bad. That's not bad to be like 9 to 5 work, you know, doing whatever I'm doing there and then like, you know, 5 to 10 or 5 to 12, like working on the art stuff, continue selling, making art. Like I'm painting now, like I'm selling different kinds of art, working, making clothing and merchandise and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know where it's going to take me, but the goal would be to be like a Pharrell or like a, you know, a Virgil, like a creative director or something like that. Mm-hmm. That would be very tough, but you know, I'll take it one step at a time though.
For sure. Yeah. And last thing always just plug socials. Like I said, anything you have coming up, you know, you guys just kind of spoke on that. So yeah, plug socials and we'll just wrap it up from there.
El Bandos is my personal, ELBANDOS on IG. Ed Lamar is my art account, which is EDLAMRR. Yeah, and then Saint Lamar, SAINTLAMARR, is 2Rs.com. That's my art account. I mean, that's my art website. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, my social is nothing crazy. It's just Ryan T, but it's RY4N_T. So.
For sure. I appreciate you guys, you know, pulling up. I enjoyed the conversation. Like I said, hopefully, God willing, your choice blows up, then we'll do a little logo rebrand. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Logo rebrand. But yeah, anybody who's tuning in, I appreciate it. Just follow Your Choice Pod on all platforms. And then, you know, you can follow me too. I don't be doing too much, but you know.
Get on the wheel, bro. Great host.
You know what I'm saying? Appreciate it.
You know how to direct a combo, bro. I respect it.
But
bro,
you know, you can follow me on IG, WUNSAH. And other than that, you can cut it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.